Cliff Schechter. We actually do, Brett. Do we have a brand new, you're going to love this. This is a completely original. Never heard anything like this. A brand new theme song for Cliff Schechter.
Cliff. Cliff.
It's Cliff Schechter. Unprecedented is the podcast. You can hear that. And by the way, if you're not on Patreon and listening to that, you're just wrong. Blue Amp Strategies, of course, if you need messaging help, Blue Amp Strategies can help you there. He's kind enough today to join us to talk a little bit about Colin Powell as well as some other news. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, man, I don't know what to do. I'm so overcome by my song. It's like walking music for me. Like, I'm walking around right now. I'm ready to party.
I got bad news for you. Every time we talk to you now, we're playing the Cliff song because that is just – I don't know who came up with this stuff, but that is just – mwah. It matches
you. I like it.
Oh, beautiful.
Who sent it to you? Was it like a listener or did somebody there create it?
No, it's just some guy apparently who's doing random names. We have this for Jeff Stein, our Wednesday guest. We have the Jeff song, and I said, is there any chance the guy's done a Cliff song? And apparently he has. And so,
oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Don't be modest. You actually were the one that sang that.
I sang that. I wrote it. It took me weeks to write that song.
The lyrical profusion there was perfect. Yeah, I mean, the thing is that if you get to the point where you're singing a song for Cliff, which is about the 879th most popular male name right now, there must be a lot of songs out there is the only conclusion I can come to.
This guy, he has been busy. I'll get to more. He's got some good ones. I'll talk more about that a little bit later on. I don't know if you heard. I did kind of run through Colin Powell's bio. I mean, incredibly impressive. Yep. And is that a fair assessment? He was the last moderate Republican?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could call him that. I mean, he certainly was the last of I don't want to say, I hate using the word dying now, but the last of a breed that was disappearing. I mean, they're probably in when he was still sort of supporting Republicans, you know, I'm thinking now in the 2010s, and he did endorse John McCain in 2008, and a lot of the others like Lincoln Chafee and Jeffords and people had left by then. So, yeah, I think it's a fair argument. I mean, he certainly is representative of a breed of Republican that if you try to explain to people that are 25 or younger, will have a hard time understanding that actually used to really exist. And at one point, largely controlled the party. You know, the Rockefeller wing, Nelson Rockefeller, governor of New York, vice president. You know, Gerald Ford, former president, was from that wing of the party. It used to be a legitimate party. It wasn't an actual cult, folks. You can look this up.
One of the things I found amazing about Powell is that moment on Meet the Press where – and I think that's when it became apparent to him that clearly Dick Cheney was controlling everyone within the White House. But yet he did not allow that. He did not bend. And when you look today at Republicans who are openly insulted by Donald Trump to their face and then they come back and say, yeah, he's still my guy, you know, morality – integrity, these are things this guy had. And when he found out, I mean, the end for him as a Republican is when he found out that they used him, they lied to him just to get him to be the face of the, you know, of the justification for the Iraq War. And basically when he found out, I mean, he had integrity. He did not, this was not going to be something he was going to be pushed around. He was about one of the last guys in the Republican Party that would actually take that stance as well.
No, I mean, that's correct. There are moderate Republicans back then who, and you know, half of them had a soul like him, and decided, and the other half, you know, were moderate until it became a better money making venture to go against everything they had ever believed, or at least professed to believe, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, Rudy Giuliani was a moderate Republican back then, a pro choice. People won't believe this either. A pro choice, pro gun control, pro gay marriage, pro-environment, pro-immigration, you know, mayor of New York City. And, I mean, whether Rudy ever actually believed that stuff, I don't know. Or in more recent years, he's absolutely lost his mind. That's possible, too. But whatever it is, the people that used to sort of, you know, the biggest names in the Republican Party, even in, like, the 2010s, were the moderates. They were the people, as you point out, with what they did with Colin Powell to sell Iraq, they would have, you know, McCain, who McCain wasn't really a moderate. He was more of a sort of a conservative who had some moderate beliefs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and but you know, that's what Jeff Flake was, some others. But, you know, they would sort of use those guys and put them out front and say, you know, we're not really crazy right wingers. Mm-hmm. We're really moderate. See, look at these guys. But I mean, again, even, you know, we're so far removed from a Colin Powell. I don't even feel like we're like one generation. You know, it's like if you look at the evolutionary poster going from apes to like monkeys to humans walking upright. Like it's that backwards. Like the Republican Party has devolved. It's sort of like it started hunching over with Newt Gingrich and went on through, you know, Sarah Palin and George W. Bush. And by the time you're at Donald Trump, you're like you're doing a faceplant. And frankly, there's people who are every bit as bad, if not worse, than Donald Trump throughout the Republican Party now. And you know that everybody knows that, the Matt Gaetzes and the Jim Jordans and the Marjorie Taylor Greens. I mean, you know, those are like the back bench. There would be like a half dozen of them. You know, Bob Dornan, if you remember him, he was one of the crazies back in the day, 20, 30 years ago, Jesse Helms, and they were considered the outliers. And so, like, you know, in a way, looking at Colin Powell, it's almost like archaeology. It's like you're going back in time and unearthing something that used to exist, which isn't even just moderation. It's Republicans who believed in policy and governing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to go on too long about you, but I mean, Marco Rubio, who people used to call a moderate-ish when he was in the state house, he was moderate on a few things in Florida. Okay. Used to call him a moderate. This is a guy that tweeted out, I think it was in caps, but if it wasn't, with, you know, a million exclamations, he's become Donald Trump. Like, it's not truth, it's truth, justice in the American way. !! Over the whole Superman thing. Mm-hmm. You know, for people don't know, they've changed that now.
Yeah.
Right. Because guess what? The American way doesn't sell all that well in Norway or Japan, you know, or Ecuador. It's an international market now. And the people in D.C. want to actually market beyond the United States. How crazy of them. But he's not a real person anymore. Marco Rubio they were calling him their Obama. You remember that 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
He's now somebody that's been reduced to sending out idiotic tweets about non-issues or Bible quotes. You know, like, if there's not a better example of what's happened to that party that used to have Colin Powell's in it to the joke that it is, maybe that's it.
Chuck Grassley going out there and saying, well, yeah, he talked about overthrowing the government, but it didn't actually happen, so no blood, no foul. And you brought up Jesse Helms. Jesse Helms would get primaried in this day and age. He would be primaried because he's not conservative enough.
That is actually very true.
Absolutely.
I mean, Chuck Grassley's another one you brought up. You know, I separate all these out. I have the moderates, you know, in one area, because obviously I'm too much of a dork who paid attention to all this stuff so closely. And there's what I used to call the conservative institutionalists. Much more conservative than me, but had at least some respect for the Senate, for our democracy. And they all either got primaried out of existence, like Dick Lugar, had the, you know, former senator and a giant in foreign relations from Indiana, or they had to drop out, you know, and stop running for office, or like Orrin Hatch and Grassley, these people that have been there for 30, 40 years that once seemed to actually care about our democracy. I don't know if it's age and dementia. I don't know if it's just this was always their inner id they couldn't let out because there were too many constraints before and Trump has let them all go. But I mean, yeah, Grassley is just as much a danger to our democracy today as anybody else. And he's been there since the 70s. And what a sad statement that is, honestly.
Do you think, I mean, a lot of people have talked about Colin Powell coming on out and actually endorsing Obama on his second term. In 2012, because you're right, he did go and endorse McCain back in 2008. But 2012, that was basically the separation from the Republican Party. And a lot of people point to that, not necessarily. I mean, Obama did have a lot of things going for him, namely Mitt Romney. But the reality is there's a lot of people that point to that said that's one of the main reasons why Barack Obama won re-election in 2012 was because that Colin Powell came out and basically said, if you're a moderate Republican, he's the candidate at this point.
Oh, I certainly think it helped a lot. I mean, you're right. Mitt Romney kind of helped push himself into a corner by literally being a stereotype of like a blue-blooded Republican.
Exactly.
I mean, who couldn't communicate. I mean, the guy looked like he was born with khakis on. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like he was a guy who looked like they created the yacht queue for him. You know, so like he wasn't the guy who was going to go and broaden the appeal of the party. But at the same time, you can't take anything away from the fact that Colin Powell coming out like that, you know, some other moderate Republicans also came out for Obama. But no, I'd have to look back, but I don't remember anybody with a profile of a Colin Powell, you know, who was a Republican doing that. So, yeah, he made a huge difference. And look, I feel like we do have to be honest about his record. You know, he did help sell Iraq.
Yeah.
He may have been fooled, but maybe he should have been more suspicious of Dick Cheney and the people that were fooling him. I mean, he was a pretty smart guy, and he helped push us into a war that, in the end, helped create some of the conditions that got us to where we are today. You know, they created some of this right-wing insanity. I also feel compelled, you know, to point out, I had forgotten about this even, but, you know, my podcast partner on Unprecedented, which you brought up, thankfully, kindly, John Aravosis, was a longtime sort of fighter, crusader for gay rights. And Colin Powell undercut Bill Clinton when Bill Clinton was elected, and he was still chairman, Powell was, of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, allowing gays in the military, so that we had to go to that intermediate don't ask, don't tell before just doing it. And that was because of Colin Powell speaking out. So, I don't want to, like, what I don't like is when people pass away and then we deify them. I'm not saying you're doing that. Some people do. But I do think that also there are people on the left who just have the reaction of, oh, all he did was Iraq. He's a war criminal. Of course, I got that on Twitter. Twitter, known for nuance. Mm-hmm. Whereas overall, he broke down barriers. He was the first black Secretary of State, first black, you know, Joint Chiefs, head of the Joint Chiefs. He, you know, what he did, at least in standing up against people attacking Obama and saying, you know, on the birth certificate and the rest, and speaking out against Trump and the direction of his party was important. So I think, like everything else, we got to put all this in perspective. And overall, you know, look, he was a giant on the scene, and he did do a lot of good, even though there's some things that he admitted that he had to pay a penance for.
And by the way, I always that there was that White House Oval Office meeting where basically they said, we're sending you to the UN. You're going to be selling this. And he told them and said, you're telling me this is the truth. This is all, you verified this. And Dick Cheney and the crew basically looked at him and said, yes, it's all true. And then he found out the real truth. You know, it really was that whole presidency, you know, leading up to you know, him departing. It was basically the moment when that party decided, I mean, before Sarah Palin, before Donald Trump, it was that was the party. Karl Rove and Cheney, their antics drove them down those roads. And, you know, because and you can't in, you know, you're right. There's with everyone's legacy, there's good and bad. But the reality is in my mind, Colin Powell was the last good guy Republican we had, because he walked away from the party because he was not about to go back there and say, oh, I'm so sorry, they were right, I was wrong. He actually had integrity. He actually had conviction and morality. And when the reality came out, he walked away from that party as quick as he could.
No, I think that's important to point out. You know, I mean, you can compare it to your former Republican governors, of which you had a couple in Minnesota who were self-proclaimed moderates, and has any one of them walked away? No.
Arne Carlson did to a point.
He did.
Yeah, Arne Carlson did to a point.
Well, that's going further back. Okay, I give you credit. That's going further back than I was thinking in my mind. I was going back to
Teepaw.
To Teepaw first, and then what's his name? The Brooklynite that Al Franken beat in the Senate race.
Norm Coleman, yeah.
Yep. Those guys, I mean, Coleman portrayed himself as a moderate. Teepaw, I think, did to a certain degree, too. Carlson, you're right. That generation, the 70s and 80s guys, a lot of them turned on the Republican Party, you know, and came out, especially the ones from northern states, from New England, from Wisconsin, Minnesota, places like that. But these more recent ones, they've all just sold out. Where is Teepaw speaking out about the danger that Donald Trump poses to our democracy? Where's Coleman? Coleman's with whatever that Republican Jewish coalition is, making up lies about Democrats, you know, supporting the extinction of Israel or whatever the garbage he sends out, and making money off. That's what Coleman's doing with his life.
Well, I should mention here that the, you know, when you look at how, you know, they are. I mean, one of the problems I have with a lot of moderate Republicans is you may have left the Republican Party. You may not identify as Republican anymore. But for God's sakes, when it comes to presidential frickin' elections and other elections, don't just cower, put your tail between your legs and go back and vote R. You got to go on out there. If it truly is a bad party, if truly embracing white nationalism and Nazis and Trump is truly bad, well, then you need to either not vote or go vote for someone else, because you just going back and voting for that, that's you know, depleting your argument.
Right. Well, especially when you just come up against this and you sort of take yourself out of it for a second and realize how utterly ridiculous it is. Right. I mean, party is a false created construct. Why would you be more loyal to your party than you would to reality ever? Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly.
I mean, and especially when you get to the point of these guys that were, you know, governors and senators, and they're lobbyists now, and they're whatever else. These are not people that are hurting financially. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're not people that are struggling. Hey, gee, how will I make a living? They've thrown in with the worst, and they've done it because it's the most profitable thing to do or allows them to go to the parties they want to go to. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know what that says about you. I've seen that with some of the writers and some of the people that I knew at one point in time, because there are people when I used to go on debates a decade plus ago on MSNBC and even on Fox, which I would never do again, but back then I used to, you know, and some of these people who I knew personally, I knew their politics, I knew their moderates, and now I see them sitting there just throwing in with Trump, and it's disgusting.
Absolutely.
It's sickening.
Absolutely.
That anyone would do that, that anyone who, you know, because I know they don't believe it, but they don't care. You know, and, you know, I mean, if it adds like, you know, an extra $10,000 a month or $20,000 a month to the paycheck, then they'll do it, which shows a hell of a lot of patriotism.
One last thing here really quickly, because this came down and this was expected. Trump is trying to sue under the argument of executive privilege that the House committee, the investigating into what happened on January 6th, cannot have presidential documents from the White House in regards to the January 6th insurrection. So he's trying to make the argument. But the last time I checked, he's not the president. And we already had a court case that decided this with Nixon that, no, you cannot, if there's suspected crimes, you cannot shield your documents.
I think he probably told them, I'm an executive at the Trump company, so I get executive privilege. It's the stupidest. I mean, you know, there's not really not much to say about it, as you said. Completely baseless, complete garbage, has no chance of being upheld unless it's a bunch of his sycophants, you know, in the Supreme Court, who maybe would uphold it just because they'd uphold anything, because wow, they're not actually really judges. They're Republicans and rogues. That's the only way something like that could be upheld. Because again, if you lose that ability, if you are not unable to do that, then you basically just said that that Congress and other branches of government do not have any right to look into what an executive does. Then we might as well just admit it and say we're a fascist state.
Well, and exactly it. I mean, if the five conservative judges outside of Roberts vote to basically say, oh, yeah, executive privilege, how do you ever hold anyone who's president of the United States accountable? Again, you can't.
No. Then they've made their statement about what kind of system we actually are. It's not even a question mark anymore.
Exactly. Okay. Unprecedented is the podcast. I'll link to that. Blue Amp Strategies. If you got messaging, especially with campaigns, we got a big election year next year. You need help with messaging, Blue Amp Strategies. Cliff and his crew will help you out with that. Cliff Schechter, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
My pleasure, too. Thanks for having me on, buddy.